Good morning, everybody. God bless you. It's wonderful to be together. That was an amazing time of worship that we all shared together. Before I start, I just want to make a little announcement. We've been going to Vision Park Saturday afternoons and just talking to people about God and giving away hot dogs. We also started doing something on March Avenue right near the farmer's market on Friday afternoons. And that has become way more fruitful, I would say. We probably had 30 conversations. They're all parking on March to go to the farmer's market, so they come walking by and we offer them water. And a lot of them will stop. And then we say, would you fill out a questionnaire? And then the questionnaire is, well, how do you think you need to get to heaven? We have all these good works on there. But the idea is to get started on conversations. And my wife, who was away for 7 weeks, she's fluent in Spanish. And I would say 55-60% of everybody that stopped was either Hispanic or some people were, you know, completely Spanish speaking. So it was absolutely amazing. Anyway, we are going to do this on Fridays. We're not going to do the VG Park on Saturdays. We're moving it to Friday afternoon. If you want to come by, we want to 4 to 6. Just a large, if you drive up Ski Run Boulevard, you'll run into a blockade, you know, because that's where the farmer's market is, and then there'll be crowds and turn right. And we'll be the only pop-up in the driveway handing out water. You can't miss it. Father, thanks for this day that we're assembled here together to worship you, and that there is a body of believers here that wants to worship, as there are in other churches in South Lake Tahoe. And we just thank you for your word, and that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes the purpose to which you have purposed it. So please speak to us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have a title of my message this morning, and it's called Walking in the Spirit, Discerning the Motives of the Heart. Now, last week, Corbett from Sierra Church came by to speak, and he spoke on the fruit of the Spirit, specifically peace. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. So Sierra Church is doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and last week we heard peace. Well, this is the prequel. You know what prequels are in movies? Okay, so this is the prequel to the fruit of the Spirit. And it is Galatians chapter 5, because when you get down to verse 22, that's where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, up in verse 16, we talk about walking in the Spirit. And it is walking in the Spirit that produces the fruit. So here we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, but I say, walk, which means act, in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is the goal of the Christian life. And in order to understand this, we know that in the beginning, God created a magnificent universe and the world and Adam and Eve. And he said, there's one thing that you can't do. And he said, you may eat of any tree of the garden. But in verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day, the very day, that you eat of it, you will surely die. And we do know that Adam and Eve did eat of the tree. But they kept walking around. In fact, they had children, and they lived for hundreds of years. So how is it that they died? They seem to be still alive. Well, what died that day was our relationship with God. Sin separated mankind from God. And that's a pretty cool picture. Maybe in the middle of it, you could have sin. But that's where humanity is and has been ever since that time. And this explains why the world is the way it is. And what the way it's continuing and the way it seems to be going. It just seems like, you know, if you spin a top, as it starts slowing down, it starts wobbling. Well, that's what the world is, and it's been that way ever since Adam and Eve broke the commandment of God and sin was introduced. Well, God has a plan to bring mankind back to Him. And Ezekiel talks about that. Ezekiel was written 600 years before Jesus was born. So in Ezekiel, we have prophecy about what God is going to do to bring mankind back to Himself. And so here we read in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning in verse 24. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. So you have to think, where is Israel right now? They have sinned so much that they got kidnapped. In fact, Moses prophesied that 1,000 years before. He said, if you do not follow my commandments, I'm going to have a foreign nation come in and kidnap you. And that's exactly what happened. And they got carried away to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. Same area. So here's what he says. But I'm going to bring that in. Now, this is prophecy about what happened back then. It's also prophecy for the future. A lot of times prophecies are at least two time periods. Immediately after, they did come back from Babylon. But this is also talking about the new heaven and the new earth in the book of Revelation, which hasn't happened yet. So in verse 25, we read, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Now, I want you to remember the water thing, because it'll come up later. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. So that's a cleansing verse. And he says he does it with water. Now in the next verse, it says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now this is an absolutely amazing verse that we really need to focus on. I'm going to give you a new heart. Well, you see, I don't have to get my pictures for you. Do you like the heart on the left side? Can you see that? Okay, it's kind of like an ugly thing. That is, when I'm teaching children, I say, that's the Adam heart. And the one on the right, that's the Jesus heart. So that's what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. That's what happened inside. And God says, I will give you new and a new spirit. And I will put within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, verse 27. Now look at this. And I will put my spirit. You can notice the capital S. It may not be in the Hebrew, but it is kind of cool. I will put my spirit within you, and I put the word thereby in there, because I think it's implied by the context. I will put my spirit within you and thereby cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now, by implication, that's a good word, I made that one. Implication. What he's saying here is that it requires a new spirit to walk in his laws. God gave us the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and maybe grudgingly they were able to follow them, but it was always a fight. What he's saying, to follow God's rules, you need a new heart. The Adam heart can't follow God's rules. They proved that. And all of the time in the Old Testament, Israel was always disobeying God, so much that they got kidnapped. So it is the new heart and the new spirit that enables us to even follow God's rules. And this is the definition of walking by the Spirit. What is walking by the Spirit? Well, from this verse, to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's walking in the Spirit. And it requires a new spirit to be able to do that. It's walking moment by moment in the will of God. When you are born again, God gives you a new spirit, and that new spirit that you have is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We'll see this. So I use the word born again. What does that mean? Well, knew who made that word in the first place? Jesus Christ. It's not some evangelical thing. Oh, look, born again. Heard of that? Excuse me, this is what Jesus said. So, 600 years later, after Ezekiel, Jesus is born, and then he's 30 years old, begins his ministry, and one night a man named Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee, comes and visits Jesus. And he comes at night, because he was afraid, I suppose, of his peers, and he didn't want to be seen doing it, because they were against Jesus. But Nicodemus thought, oh, there's something about him. I'm going to go see him, but I better do it. So Nicodemus comes and he starts a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus answered him saying, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, here's our word, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is pretty neat. You see the word see? That's a pun. I joined the Navy. The sea. But what did I see? I saw the sea. I joined the Navy. You see the boils? But what did I see? I saw the sea. You're a Navy. Well, that has nothing to do with anything.
Thanks for sharing.
It's just an aside.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is kind of amazing. The kingdom of God is where God is. There's angels there. It's the spiritual dimension. To be able to see into that world, you have to have the Holy Spirit living in you. Remember when Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He tells a parable. He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So there are spiritual eyes and there are spiritual ears. And with the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears, we can see and we can hear what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. And that's what walking in the Spirit is being able to see into the kingdom of God and know what God wants. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He doesn't get it. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? No spiritual understanding. But it makes sense that there's no spiritual understanding because he wasn't born again. In fact, nobody was born again until Jesus paid the price for our sins, dying on the cross, was raised from the dead, and the Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost. That's when you could be born again. But before that, you couldn't, and that's why he doesn't understand. But this is a case in point. He doesn't get it. Because he doesn't have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears yet. Verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water. Remember I reminded you back in Ezekiel about water? There's a little dispute on this verse among scholars. And I'll just tell you, there's three different opinions. One of them is that water refers to baptism. Another one of them is that it's embryonic fluid. They really, to be born in the flesh is, you know, embryonic fluid. I'm going to tell you. Okay, but that's one of the opinions. And then the other one is that Jesus is quoting from Ezekiel, and it's the water cleansing. Most scholars would go with that, but somebody I mentioned this one time came running up and said, no, that's embryonic fluid. Okay, yeah. But the water is what cleanses us. Unless that happens, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You have three parents. You have a mom, you have a dad, and they together produce your flesh. And when you believe in Jesus, you get a third parent, your heavenly Father, and he births new life into you. In fact, that new life is life in the kingdom. How do you get into the kingdom? You have to be born into it. How do you get born into the world? You're born in it. How do you get born into the kingdom? You're born into it. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again or you won't be in the kingdom. And being in the kingdom means you have salvation. And then he sums up this whole session with John 3:16. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How do you receive salvation? It says it right here. Very simple. It says believe in Jesus. Do you need to repent? Yes. Should you be water baptized? Yes. I mean, you can get into all kinds of things, but Jesus said it very simply. And simply is believing in Jesus. That is eternal life. Okay. With all of that said, now we can go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now that we understand what the Spirit is. The Spirit is the new life that Adam and Eve lost. They lost their spiritual connection with God. When we believe in Jesus, God gives us new life, reconnecting us with God. But it's even better than that, it means, because we can't believe.